So she said to me that I was a friend in a past life. I was a friend of Thomas Edison, and that I had actually helped him discover electricity.
All right.
Yeah.
You get around, Philippe.
Yeah, I get around, yeah. So, I mean, it's just one thing I remember. You know, you would just be having a blast if I could remember all the things I've been told. Just amazing. So anyway, getting back to this reading that she was giving me. So she tells me my sole purpose, which is pretty much, you know, the same as I have heard before. But the interesting thing about this lady is that, okay, so she was the Ashtar, you know, commander representative on Earth, okay? She was a disciple of the very, very famous guru, Sai Baba, and I will talk to him shortly. And she was a reborn Christian in a charismatic revival movement. Now, this is quite a mix, you know, but there's nothing that seems strange in the New Age, you know, because it's a huge mixed bag of everything, because the New Age is basically, you know, all traditions, all occult traditions and all religions all mixed together, and it's just like a complete potpourri, to use a French word, which is like a melting pot of many, many different things. And so the reborn Christian things basically took over the reading, because she was in her heart, she was a very sincere lady, even though she was completely lost, but in her heart she was a reborn Christian, and she was telling me a story about the charismatic movement, and she was telling me a story about people in Africa who were in the movement, and the miracle that was happening in Africa, saying that, you know, the African people are very, their faith is a lot stronger than people in the West, and because of their innocent faith, and it's very powerful, and she was saying that there was a lot of miracle happening there, that people were being raised from the dead, that people were being healed from disease, and anyway, so she just went on and on telling me about how wonderful Jesus Christ was, and how, you know, how amazing this charismatic movement was. And then after a while, she tells me, she tells me about speaking in tongue, and she said to me, well, you know, Philippe, we need to speak in tongue. We need to call the Holy Spirit, and we need to speak in tongue. And so she started speaking in tongue to me. So this is something I want to ask you, David, a reality check here. I understand that the speaking in tongue is a real phenomena. I mean, it's a Holy Spirit occurrence. Like people are, you know, blessed with the Holy Spirit, and they start talking in tongue, right? Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, okay. You know, it's all through the Bible. It's the most often mentioned first sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean when you hear someone speaking in tongues that it is the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that these are the tongues of men and or the tongues of angels.
Yeah.
And they can be the tongues of fallen angels. Uh-huh. You know, you really have to do what Jesus said, and that is know them by their fruits. Uh-huh. It's not just because, I mean, some charismatics and some Pentecostals, I mean, that carries a lot of weight with them. If a person says that they're filled with the Spirit and they speak with tongues. But I have to say, you better judge by the fruit, because there's some tongues out there, and there's some spirits out there that aren't the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And in the occult, there are quite a few people who speak in tongues.
Uh-huh.
But that does not make what the Bible says about tongues any less important. And it tells you that the Holy Spirit speaks when we don't know what to pray for, and He speaks in tongues. He calls it praying in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul called it praying in the Spirit. And he said, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. So he thanked God that he spake with tongues more than the Corinthian church. And so it is, and myself, I've been filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues for all but about a year of my Christian life. And it is what the Bible says it is. It builds you up. It edifies you. It makes you strong in the Lord. It builds up your most holy faith. It also is a way for the Holy Spirit to pray through you to God for things that you need that you don't know you need. That's what the Bible says. And so, yes, it's a very important gift. Some people say it's the least gift, but that's usually the non-Pentecostal, non-Spirit-filled people that say that. It's not the least gift. It's one of the most important gifts because it's the most common gift that God gives to those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is able to pray through you according to the will of God. That's what the Bible says. Uh-huh. And the reason that a person prays in tongues is so that their mind is not involved in this. It's the Holy Spirit that is speaking through them. In other words, your carnal mind, your fleshly mind is not involved. Uh-huh. So that's just a little bit of what I would say to you about that.
The speaking in tongue is it an actual language or is it a completely unknown language?
Well, it's usually unknown to the person who speaks it, but it can be very well known to someone from the outside who hears it. I've seen that many times. And, the reason you speak in tongues is so that you don't understand what you're saying, so you will not let your mind prohibit the Holy Spirit from speaking to God. But quite often, like in the book of Acts, they could speak in tongues in which other people would need to know something. And so they would be able to speak in a language that is not their language, that people who are there would hear and understand a message from God. I've seen this many times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, thank you, David. Very interesting. So what happened is that she started talking in tongue to me, what sounded like she was talking in tongue to me. And obviously I was not impressed. I knew that I had known that what you said, which is that it was a prayer language, that speaking in tongue was coming from the Holy Spirit. But I didn't feel any Holy Spirit there when she actually spoke to me. And then she invited me to speak in tongue myself. And so she put me on the spot and invited me just to do it, you know. And so at first I was quite shy and timid, and I started mumbling some sounds, you know. And then after a while, I just got into it. Now, just as an aside, the interesting thing here is that this is why I'm asking you about this, because ever since that time I have been speaking in tongue. I mean, I don't know if it is the real thing or if it's just my imagination, if it's just my own, but I have a language of my own, and it's actually very therapeutic. I talk to myself or I talk to God, and it's just like it's actually very flowing kind of a psalm language, and sometimes it sounds like Japanese, other time it sounds like Russians, most of the time it sounds like a Native American language. I don't connect with any spirit out there. It is not at all, I'm not connecting with anything here. I'm just like being with myself in my heart, and it just comes out of me. Now, what is this, David?
Well, first let me explain to the people listening that you have just recently had a really wide awakening to God, mm-hmm. and to Jesus Christ, and to the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. And Philippe also asked me recently to pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I know that he's seeking in the right direction, and I know that he's had a born-again experience because he's really been enlightened to understand what comes from the devil and what comes from God. Now, as far as your past experience, Philippe, when you were back in the New Age, you said that you had a consciousness of God for a long time. I bear witness to that, that I had the same thing, but I fell away. My spirit died. I basically began to continue to walk in the flesh, and I lost that which I had, that connection to God that I had when I was very young. So you say that you kept somewhat of this consciousness of God and a desire to please Him and a desire to serve Him and find out about Him. I don't doubt that. You know, as far as what your tongue was, I can't really judge that. I can't say whether it was a tongue from God or whether it wasn't a tongue from God. I just know that the thing about speaking in tongues is it does edify you. It does build you up in the true God. You know, it builds you up to have faith in the true God, as James says, you know. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So either way, Philippe, you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the one who respects Jesus Christ, the one who wrote the Word of God, and that's what you're going to have. So I really wouldn't worry about it too much.
Okay. Thank you. So the other thing I just wanted to check with you, David, in that experience is what happened there is that she said to me, do you want to be reborn? Do you want to be reborn in the spirit of Jesus Christ? And I said, well, how do I do that? And she said, well, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, and you have to accept that Jesus has died for your sin and that He has been resurrected, you know, after dying on the cross. And I said, yes, of course, I accept that. But the interesting thing is that I had already, in my heart, I had already accepted that because I knew what the reborn experience was about. I mean, I knew what was required to be reborn, and I had consciously in my prayer asked, for this experience. I had declared my allegiance to Jesus, and I had done this this prayer. So, but anyway, I wasn't sure if this had work or not. So she was offering me to actually write on the spot over the phone to, you know, for me to repeat the words and to state my belief. So
Philippe, do you consider this lady a an undercover agent for Jesus in the New Age, or is her Jesus another Jesus?
Well, this is very confusing. I can't really tell you that. I know that it felt like she was very sincere about her reborn experience, but within the charismatic movement. But on the other hand, she was also having other allegiance. So, you know, I don't know. Who am I to judge? But I don't know, David, the answer to that.
Well, let me explain something to you that I think is, you know, very important about what you're saying here. First of all, there are some spirit-filled Christians who have been deceived into occultic New Age things. And that's exactly what the false revival movement is all about. It is false spirits, Eastern spirits, invading charismatic Christianity. And are these people saved? Well, in their spirit they are, but these demons are dwelling now in their flesh. And they are, in a way, schizophrenic in that they're part in the kingdom and part not. And so you have to be very careful of those people, because even though they confess Christianity and they believe Jesus is their Savior, and at one time that was probably true, They are now carriers of New Age occultic spirits, and they can impart them to you. So could a Christian who is in this state actually lead you to Christ? Yes, they could. They very well could. And you could really get saved, and you could get filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that they're right about everything that they do or everything that they believe about Jesus? No, it does not, because this false revival movement is bringing an awful lot of the New Age religions to invade Christianity, and they can hurt you, as you already know. They can hurt you.
Good. Okay. Thank you. So, basically, that was most of, you know, this reading on the phone I got with this lady. Later on, I was driving up to Canada, and I wanted to meet her. Because I really felt like I needed to see who this person really was. And so driving up to British Columbia, I stopped in, I forgot where it was, somewhere around Seattle to the northwest, and I actually met her. And I was shocked, because, of course, there was so much glamour and persona around this person that it never translated into the physical. I mean, she, as sincere as she was also very confused and very lost. And I, you know, the lady I met was not the lady she was portraying to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually not very healthy, and she was, didn't look like she was very healthy, and her physical appearance was really not demonstrating what she was, telling about herself.
Yes.
And so, anyway, I felt that there was a lot of that she was actually lost, and that is what I felt. And so, I just wanted to finish that little chapter.
That doesn't mean she couldn't have told you some very true things about Jesus Christ, being born again, being filled with the Spirit. She could have told you that there are actually preachers who have admitted preaching the gospel for many years before they got saved.
Yeah.
So no, God can use a donkey to tell you the truth, you know.
No, I mean, I do credit her for, she was one of the person in my life that, even in the New Age, that brought me closer, to Jesus. So the other person I wanted to share about was, I mentioned earlier that she was a disciple of a guru, an Indian guru, Sai Baba. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, because I also had like a personal experience with this guru, and it's also very there's a lot of guru of the east of India that comes in the west and who brings all the teaching of the east, and this man calls himself the highest divine embodiment on earth. Sai Baba, his name is Satya Sai Baba. He has a huge followers. A lot of them are Western peoples, and there are millions of people who are following him, at least who was following him, because there had been serious allegations against him, which I will talk shortly. This man is actually said about himself that he's the rider on the white horse. So there's a lot of Christian theme, a lot of Christian truth, and Christian theme like ascension and the raptures and the end times and salvation that is being used, distorted, and repackaged in the New Age. and lots of Bible quote as well. I mean, it's surprising. I mean, I'm sure a Christian would be surprised to see how much of the Bible is being used to justify something, you know?
Yes.
And so this Sai Baba person is a kind of a magician in a way. I discovered actually doing some research on him that he had been trained as a young boy as a magician. So, and what he does, he supposedly materialized hash, which is called in Hindu vibhuti, which is a sacred thing in the Hindu tradition. And it's just basically like wood hash, you know, and he has the ability to, you know, he's got some trick here, obviously, to manifest that, those hash, and people think he's actually manifesting, like materializing the thing. He also does that with rings and pieces of jewelry. He says of himself that he is the father that Jesus talked to. I mean, think about that for a minute. Think about how enormous this is. He think of himself and states and declare himself as being the father of Jesus.
Yeah, he's got a really bad case of the big head.
Yeah, he's in big trouble. Also, another thing that he says, nobody comes to me but if I call him. So that also is obviously a distortion of the Christian truth. You know, nobody comes to me, nobody comes to the Father but through me, Jesus said. And he says, nobody comes to me except I call him. And, you know, I had an interesting experience with this man, because I, you know, for a little while I was, you know, studying his, before I discovered that he was a child molester, because he was basically, he has like a huge ashram, which is a spiritual center in India, and there is a school there, a young boy schools, and he was discovered to have to be sexually molesting young boys, and there has been a lot of denial around this because people think he's a divine being, and people are denying the obvious, which is a child molester. But there's been a lot of things written about that, and a lot of ex-disciple coming out of the dark, coming out of you know, of their experience of with him, because he was molesting as adult as well, not just child.
He's just living up to his father's ways. I mean, the devil is a child molester, and
yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't draw close to the devil and have his demons in you without having all kinds of perversion around you.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing that, as you said, there's many Indian gurus that end up being disgraced or in the eyes of the public because of sexual things, you know, sexual abuse or, you know, desire of wealth and riches, and you know, there's been a lot of scandal around, and people are still, it's amazing to me that there has been so many disgraced guru teachers, and people are still, you know, not learning from that, but they're still following. There's always such a huge numbers of followers of those gurus.
There's a pretty good parallel with that, Philippe, with apostate Christianity. You know, people who claim to be ministers of Christ who have fallen into such things. And as you know, the religion you came out of and the same one I came out of is just full of the molestation of young boys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just because you've got religion don't mean you're totally perverted and lost, you know. But Jesus Christ does save, and he does make holy. And there is a true Christianity in the midst of all of the false Christianity.
Absolutely. So just to finish with that little piece here, I had a dream, which was more like a vision, and I've read many of the dream and vision on the UBM website, and many people have, you know, come and share their dream and vision, and it's very inspiring. And but I want to tell you that there's also dream and vision that comes from the dark side, and I think we need to be very vigilant about where it is actually coming from. I think it's clear that I'm not sure that it is always that clear that it comes from the Holy Spirit. I would hope that it is, but this experience that I had was actually this man who says that nobody comes to me but if I call him, and I somehow probably opened the door for this to happen to me. But during the night, it was like during the night, I had this man come to me in my space, in my inner space, in my, you know, in a dream, which was more than a dream. You know, it was just, it felt like an invasion more than a dream. And he came to me and he pushed me against a piece of furniture, which was like the setting of this dream vision like. And he was like pushed against me, and he was against my body, and he blew his breath into my face. And that was it. And so I didn't feel, in the morning, I didn't feel, it was very vivid in the morning, but I didn't really feel that there was anything that was very, very negative in that experience. I just felt that he was calling me to be his disciple. This is what it felt like. And I had never been the disciple of any guru during all my time in the U.S. I had never followed anybody. And I had been, you know, looking into following somebody, but I had never found anybody that was worthy in my eyes to be following. And I guess he was no exception. I never really felt anything that was genuine in his being. And of course later I discovered that he was a child molester. All the centers, this man has a huge following. There's like centers everywhere in the world, and all the centers in Canada closed because of the allegation against him. So anyway, that's the chapter.
Do you suppose that was his familiar spirit, Philippe, that came to you in the dream?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, I was vulnerable and I was opening myself up to, I was opening up myself through my search and my confusion and my not knowing, you know, what, you know, the true God and the true Holy Spirit was. You know, when you are lost, you are, there is many dark entities and spirit that find you and that wants to buy your soul, that wants they want you. They want your soul. They want you to worship them. And so, you know, when anybody is in that state, we are open to an invasion of dark spirit, definitely.
Amen. It's true.
I would like to talk about another experience I had. For 2 years, there is a huge movement in the New Age, and it's the Ascension movement. It's another Christian theme that is being used in the New Age repackage. There is a huge number of teachers and people who believe that humanity is ascending into a higher dimensional plane. It is really, I mean, it's a very widespread thinking and movement. Basically, the teaching is that the Earth is moving into the fourth dimension, and eventually will move into the fifth dimension. Now, there's a lot of teachings in the New Age about those dimensions. I'm not sure how they, how everything fits in the Christian truth of the universe, and maybe tell me. But what they're saying is that the human race is becoming godlike, it's becoming enlightened, and that everybody and everything on the planet will eventually be translated, be ascended into a higher dimension. Now, this is such a widespread belief that recently, over the last few years, but it's been going on for many years, but it has come to the foreground of many beliefs in the New Age, and I'm sure you've heard about the Mayan calendar and the date of 2012. Have you heard of it, David?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they not only, you know, over the years, because I mean, ever since the late 80s, I have been reading about books about the ascension. So this is not new, really, but it has come to a point where there's a massive number of people are believing that thing, and they've come up with this Mayan calendar thing, which basically, supposedly, the Mayan people in ancient time had mastered the knowledge of cycle and times, and they have come up with this number, 2012, which is going to be the date, the time where everything is going to shift into a higher dimension. Now, I'm going to talk more about the Mayan calendar and the Mayan people later. Just remind me, David, if I forgot. But what I want to say right now is that this is actually the dark forces are actually planning something very big in 2012. At least they are attending, they are intending to, but this is fitting the secret agenda of the one world religion and the one world order. And so the 2012 date, people are completely obsessed with this date in the New Age. And it's a little bit like the 2000, you know, when we shifted into the 2000 years. I mean, people thought, you know, there's going to be like all kinds of things happening. Of course, nothing happened. But the 2012 is another date like that. But there's a mass belief that there's a mass denial, David, about what's going on the planet. I mean, the whole planet is falling apart. Our whole society and human society and economy and everything is just going down the drain. And people in the New Age just go around their business and they're smiling in bliss and they think that they're going to translate into a higher dimension and be with God in 2012. I mean, in a nutshell, really, I'm simplifying the whole thing, but...
It depends on who you call God, right?
What?
I said it depends on who you call God.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
They are drawing close to the God of this world, and...
Yeah.
And his kingdom is coming like it's never been on this earth before. He is going to ascend to his throne like, you know, Isaiah 14 says. Uh-huh. And it's going to be over the harlot church and over the apostate religions of this world. And, you know, what they're seeing coming is what their father has told them. And it's definitely coming.
It is, And it's amazing the amount of denial that there is with this, and you know, the amount of deception with this 2012 date. Anyway, I for many years I was involved with a festival in California in Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta is one of the high places of the New Age. And it's a little town, you know, but there's lots of New Age thing happening there. The Mount Shasta Festival, the Wissak Festival, was organized by a man called Joshua David Stone, who is a very famous author in the New Age and who's been writing a lot of books about ascension. Exactly what I was telling you about what ascension is. And I read all his book, and he had now passed away. But for 10 years, this he organized this Wissak Festival in Mount Shasta. Now, the Wissak Festival is described as being the meeting of, well, the anniversary of Buddha and the meeting of Buddha and the Christ in service to humanity. Now, this is one of those New Age mixing up together, you know, everything, Buddha and Christ, and many other, you know, many others like Krishna in the Hindu tradition. But in this case, it's Buddha and Christ, and there's an actual Wissak Valley in the Himalaya, and it is said, it is described as being an actual so-called inner plane ceremony happening in so-called heaven, somewhere out there in the second heaven, the heaven of the demons, and so. This is a very, this was a very popular celebration. There was like thousands of people going to this Wissak festival. It was like in a big gymnasium in a school, and there was like a lot of New Age speaker that came to this 3 days gathering, and there was a lot of it was a great New Age bazaar. I mean, you know, I often think about the New Age as being like you know, one of those Middle East or Indian or Mexican bazaar, you know, like you have all those little shops, you know, and people are selling their stuff, their trinket and their, you know, their clothing and everything, you know, and it's like the New Age is like that, you know, everybody is like trying to networking their own little piece of what they think is the truth, and they have their books and their tapes and their CDs, and they have their own prayers, and, you know, it's just like a great big bazaar. And so very much the atmosphere of the Wissak Festival. And why I'm talking about it is because there's a man there that was a speaker. I went to this festival for two years, and it happens at the full moon, because of course it's always connected, those things are always connected to pagan celebration, like the full moon, the new moon, the solstice, and so this specific festival, the Wissak Festival, celebrated every full moon in Taurus. Of course, astrology is also a big part of the black art, and it's being used, you know, extensively in all things New Age. So the man I wanted to talk about is one of the speakers who is, his man is actually, I believe, is a very in the rank and the order, and the, because there is a Luciferian hierarchy, and this man, I believe, is one of the closest to Lucifer, and he's actually very knowledgeable, and he tells his story. His name is Dranvalo Melchizedek. Now, this is no coincidence that he takes the name of a the Bible, Melchizedek, and he speak of himself as being part of the Melchizedek priesthood. And this man has actually been introducing in the West all the teaching about sacred geometry. Now, this is a very vast subject, sacred geometry, but this is very much part of the New Age. And he has, I've heard of this man like in the mid-80s when he had a workshop called the Flower of Life workshop. And there is a lot occult knowledge from ancient Egypt that he was teaching and sharing in his videos, which I had seen them all, and in his book, and in his public appearance and conference. And so basically, this man has dig out of the grave all the ancient mysteries of Babylon, of Egypt, and he was really, you know, his work has been to reveal, he's called a scientist, a spiritual scientist for a reason. This man had real inside knowledge of esoteric, of the occult, of the hidden mysteries that were so prevalent in all of the ancient traditions, the ancient mysteries. And so he's been very instrumental, one of the person instrumental in the New Age to teach those mysteries to people. And one of the things that he's sharing is that he's actually a walk-in. Now, I don't know if you know, David, or if anybody out there who are listening knows what a walk-in is. A walk-in is, in the New Age terminology, a person, a spirit, who is actually walking into a human body, like it's actually an actual possession. And he tells the story that he actually... There was a Jewish rabbi. I wonder why this was a Jewish rabbi, but nevertheless, that's the story. That was dying on an operation table at in a hospital somewhere, and he tells the story of remembering himself as a spirit, hovering above this man who was dying, and actually consciously coming into this person's body that was dying, who actually died, and took over the body and brought himself back to life through the power of the darkness. Now, of course, he doesn't tell the story like I'm telling you now. He tells the story as being a significant spiritual experience, a breakthrough of spiritual entities of the highest order, an angel of God who comes through a walking experience, because there is no time left on earth to have somebody, an avatar or some kind of a very powerful figure or teacher that can come on earth and save mankind through regular birth. There's no time for that anymore. So those people, they say, speak of themselves, the walking people, as being, you know, messengers and workers of God and angels and persons, peoples of the light. Now, there's a lot of story. This man tells stories out of this world. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stories, and I've read them all. And I believe that they are probably all true. But, of course, when you look at that from a place of knowing what the true God is and the true light is, as opposed to who is the darkness and who is from the darkness, that you have a real understanding of what those stories mean and who this person is, which I eventually discovered in my later years. Like in the past few years, I have started to uncover the whole deception about all these people and about what they're doing and what their real agenda is. And it's pretty disturbing and very shocking. I'm going to come to that shortly to tell you more about that. But to come back to him, he actually tells in one of his one of his sharing of experiences, he tells about his meeting with Lucifer. Now, this is why I feel this man is very close to Lucifer in a way. Like what we would call in the New Age terminology, like a high priest or a high initiate. And he tells about his meeting about Lucifer, and he describes Lucifer as being a nine-dimensional being. Now, of course, that doesn't mean, you know, anything. I mean, the so-called spiritual in the New Age, the so-called spiritual heaven or spiritual universe is made out of 12 dimensions. And again, I'm not sure how does that fit with anything that is being told in the Bible, because I haven't been studying the Bible of those years that I was lost in the New Age. But so basically what he's saying is that it's a very, like, the description of meeting Lucifer was an extraordinary experience, and he was describing him as, even though he was, you know, talking from, oh, well, I'm, you know, I'm from the light and he's from the dark, okay? This is what, that was his mindset. Of course, he wasn't saying that Lucifer is my pal or Lucifer is my boss. He wasn't saying anything like that. But he was describing Lucifer in a way that was betraying his allegiance to him in a way, now that I see it from where I am now. And he was describing him as being like this magnificent being of light. I mean, Lucifer can be looking like a very creepy kind of reptilian beings, and but also he can appear as an incredible being of light. And this is why I think, you know, so many people have been deceived, thinking they were seeing angels and of God, and when they were actually seeing, you know, the devil, like Lucifer, cloak into beings of light.
You know, it amazes me, Philippe, that so many people are desiring to draw close to Lucifer and to seek after Lucifer as though he's some great high being.
Yeah.
When Jesus, you know, said in Luke chapter 10, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know, the very least of God's people has authority over Lucifer and over his demons. And yet these people, you know, aspire to draw close to Lucifer and to know his deep secrets and so on and so forth.
Yeah. What I discovered is that actually they are people who are, like you said, openly asking Lucifer to come into their beings. I mean, there's like, I actually discovered that the whole New Age movement is the church of Lucifer. It is the worship of Lucifer. And of course, when you are part of the New Age and you are like, you know, trying to find your way and discover the truth, most people don't know that. But I want to talk to you about secret society, Freemasonry, the Illuminati, Theosophy, Anthroposophy, which are all occult society or occult organization that actively not only created the whole New Age religion, but they are pursuing it to the highest level of government and human organization. It is all the way up to the United Nations. People there in the United Nations are openly stating their allegiance to Lucifer more and more. I mean, it's been hidden for so many years in secret society, but what's happening now with this New Age is that it is becoming out there. It is becoming like more and more open, and people are more and more saying that they are actually following Lucifer.
Yes. And the UN is full of them.
Yeah, I mean,
we've known that for a long time. I mean, this is the devil's vehicle to put his throne above the saints of God, you know, the stars of God. This is he's going to use the one world order, the UN, the beast.
It is. Right? Yeah, it is. I mean, I was shocked when I discovered that. I'm going to give you some detail about that because I think it's very important, you know, Christian knows about how it is actually organized secretly and in every minute details of human life. Everything is being controlled, everything is being organized towards this one single end, which is the one world religion and the one world order. And it is very shocking and disturbing. To come back to this man, he was actually the first he was the first person I heard about the Bible code. He, in that meeting at the WISAC festival, he was talking about different things. One thing that is interesting as an aside is that he openly talked about his association with the CIA and saying that he was actually teaching them spiritual things, and you know, he always has those incredible stories, you know, which I think were true, very disturbing stories, where the CIA and the secret government were involved, and you know, I think that he actually works for the CIA. Obviously, he doesn't say that about himself, but this is really what I feel and believe now. He was, during that WISAC festival, was talking about the Bible code as a new thing. Nobody had heard about the Bible code. That was like, I don't know, it was like 10 years ago, something like that. And he was saying that, you know, a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, had researched the code and that he had found his name and he had found the death of his own death, I think. I don't remember the details, but I'm sure you would know about that, David.
Yes.
Anyway, he was introducing the Bible code as, you know, as being like a new thing, a new revelation from God, and using that to introduce some New Age ideas, of course, because, you know, the truth is never the truth in the New Age. It's always distorted. The other thing he was talking about, there's another movement in the U.S. that you may or may not have heard about, but it's the story about the Indigo Children. Have you heard about that, David, the Indigo Children?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, there is this is another one of those movements that is very popular, but basically, since the New Age followed the theory of evolutions and reincarnation, meaning that we as a human race are moving into a higher and higher evolutions, and we are moving into godhood, goddess, and God. Therefore, it is natural that the species is evolving, you know. And by the way, I'm sure you know that the theory of evolutions of species is a belief. It's not based on anything scientific, it's not based on fact and science. And so the same with the New Age belief of, oh, we are moving into godhood because we are God and goddesses, it is as false as the belief in evolutions of species. And so to, you know, to build that case around the fact that the belief that the human species is evolving, there is this story about the Indigo Children. And this has been all over the place. I mean, it's just like it's amazing. They have such an incredible power of the media, the New Age has, because, you know, as we say, they are at the United Nations. They own the media, you know, basically. And so, you know, any books, any bestseller book like Conversation with God from Neil Diamond Walsh, I'm sure you've heard about those books, which are number one bestseller in New York and The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, who is the guru, the greatest guru in the New Age movement of late. All those things are being marketed to such an extent that it is like spreading like wildfire. I mean, it's just going so fast because they have the power of the media. So if you are not sure about anybody out there, if it is somebody who is known and well advertised and who has written a book that is being sold everywhere, well, this is a good sign that this person is not doing the true work of God, but is actually doing the work of the devil, because, you know, the media is owned by the devil, and they have an incredible power of spreading misinformation and mistruth. And so this Indigo thing, like many other things in the New Age, just went crazy. I mean, just people went crazy. And what happened is that the Indigo children are the new children, meaning that they are very evolved, advanced children, and they are the children who doesn't fit in society because they're so spiritually advanced. Well, guess what? Most children now, children are sensitive beings, and most children have a hard time fitting in this crazy madness of a society that we live in. And so they develop ADD, which is attention deficit, ADD. Let me ask.
Attention deficit disorder.
Attention deficient disorder or disorder deficient. Well, anyway, you got it. ADD and other problem of adaptation and learning disabilities. And so they're saying that those Indigo children are the future of the human race. They are so evolved that they can't fit in the learning system, in the school system. And anyway, I was a single parent, and I brought up my daughter by myself in the midst of all of this madness of the New Age, and she had followed me, you know, in Hawaii and in California, and you know. And poor thing, and she heard it all, because of course I was trying to teach her, and I did teach her about Jesus, which I'm proud about, and she went to a Catholic school, believe it or not, a private school.